Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Spandex makes me horny. Just kidding. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just kidding. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a patch. Drag is the new.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. It's time for another Roop Cap. New friend Silva, old friends gone. I hate that as the runway song, but whatever. That is not what we're here to discuss. We're not here to discuss the lip sync song, or the not the lip sync song, the runway song for the girls. We are here to talk about episode number 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars Season 7. All Winners Edition. I cannot believe that we are 8 episodes into this 12 episode season and there are this few stars given out. I really would like to talk to Rue about giving out some more Legendary Legend stars. I feel like there's going to be a Mario Party moment coming up soon, and there's just going to be stars being thrown around, and I'm going to live for it, but it's also going to be quite frustrating. This has become my version of the pit stop, and I would say it at the beginning of every episode, but it has been so exciting to be able to take the recap and essentially do a road show with it, bring some new voices onto the podcast, and just chat about Drag Race. We do have a familiar voice to those of you long time, or even maybe some new Flame On listeners. If you've listened to anything other than our recaps lately, you will have heard this guest all the way back to the premiere of this podcast and its predecessor as well. Everyone who is listening, please help me welcome to this recap, Brian. What's up, Brian?
I'm just glad you didn't say old voice, because I do feel that every time I talk Drag Race and I can't even remember who won.
Mitch, listen, I mean, I know you're older than me, but I fucking feel like ancient every single day right now. So I ain't in a place to be calling nobody old right at this moment. But yeah, the old voice that you hear is Flame On founder Brian, who is here to discuss this episode with me. But before we do any of that, as has become a tradition, because all of my guests are just on for one episode, we must ask how you are enjoying this season. What have been some standout moments, some highlights, and things that have just tickled your fancy on this All Winners edition of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars?
Well, I did get a little late start, but I am caught up, and I'm happy to say that I have very much enjoyed this season so far. What is especially a treat, I think, is just seeing and enjoying the sisterhood of professionals who know each other, who love each other, you know, as much as they are legally allowed to on television, and just competition without as much of the manufactured bullshit that unfortunately reality TV has come to be known for. I love the change to basically not send anyone home, because it works so well, allowing the queens to just be with each other for the whole run, to have moments throughout that whole journey to still have little arcs, to still have little mini micro dramas. But overall, just to be themselves, to be the best, most entertaining for television versions of themselves, to make amazing art. I mean, the levels of craft and performance this season, I mean, are at the top of all Drag Race. Like, it is not just winner's season in name only. It is quite just the pinnacle of what we have seen out of World of Wonder and Drag Race. So I love that. I will be specific and say Jinx, which, I mean, you know, anyone who knows me or all of us in Flame On, we stand for Jinx. We have from the beginning, from the moment like she first manifested, you know, in Drag Race, having gotten to meet some of her peers here in Seattle. I actually got to hire Honey Bouquet, a Seattle-known drag queen, a Seattle-based drag queen, who's part of the infamous Bacon Strip here in Seattle. And Jinx is a former Miss Bacon Strip. So Honey and Jinx go way back. So anyway, all that to say, Jinx is so amazing. And just seeing her shine for, you know, for some people, probably not the first time, but like they just don't know her as well. And so seeing her come back and have this just glorious run so far. Raja, speaking of that, Raja, oh my God, like we all love her. Again, longtime Drag Race fans love her. People who go to Provincetown love her, even if it's just watching her sort of walk around and just kind of, I don't know, exist. Was she even barking for a show when we saw her at Provincetown, or, you know, multiple times now? Like,
I'm pretty sure she was.
I mean, I think that's what she was doing,
Goddess. But she was pedaling on her bicycle cart down the street, but was gracious enough to take a lovely photo with us. And it's weird because I was never a big Raja fan when I went back and watched season 3. Like, she totally deserved to win. She was amazing, but I was never a big Boogers versus Heathers lover. I didn't love that scenario, and Raja's personality was sometimes a little more abrasive than it needed to be. And I mean, that was probably who she was at that point in time. She was also very established as a, you know, makeup artist and a talent at that point. But to see Raja on this season, I 1,000,000% agree. Like, it's just fantastic. And it's been said multiple times, like Rue said it. I think Raja said it in Untucked Scenes, where it's awesome that new younger fans are going to be exposed to Raja on something other than Fashion Photo Review. And they're going to get to see the brilliance of the queen that is Raja.
Oh, she's just like, it mellowed like a fine wine. And I love the fact that she's sort of the considered the elder statesman, you know, in her mid to late 40s, whatever, wherever she's at. I forgot. I know she's a little older than me, but
she graduated high school in 92. So she's 47.
Yeah, 47.
Roughly, because I graduated 7 years after Raja.
Oh, there you go.
So she's roughly 7 years older than I am. So yeah, 47, 48 in that ballpark. Between 46 and 48.
I love her to death. She's great. The Vivian, of course, fans of UK Drag Race. The Vivian was an amazing queen, definitely deserved all of the successes she's had. And seeing her, not that UK drag is necessarily inferior to US drag, not at all. It's just different. Seeing her really polish out and fill out the other parts to her drag that she already had done a lot towards. But like, this is like next level from what we saw in Drag Race UK, holding her own magnificently and then some against her sisters from the US. I mean, they're all amazing. Honestly, I say those three. I love Evie to death. I love, Monet in my fraternity. Who am I? How would I exclude her from this list? But like, you know, Shay. Okay, I'm gonna leave out people, aren't I? Who else am I missing?
Jada Essence Hall.
Jada is the one that is interesting to me because she's so new. Like, not new, like drag, she's been in drag for a while. Jada's new to Drag Race world because she only won like what, the 12th season, I think, which is like 2 ago.
She was season 12, which was on a Zoom call. That was the 2020, the May. Oh, right. How long are these seasons? 14 months now. So it started in January 12. So April or early May was when that finale was of 2020. So we were like right into the thick of the first lockdowns.
She just is so recent that I was surprised they brought her right back, or relatively, but also like has evolved in the last, you know, I mean, we all know they filmed this like a year before it airs. So really from when she won Drag Race in that Zoom call to when she probably started taping, it was a little over a year, right? Like that's really fast.
From her season, from the end of her season. That's airing. True.
From the end of her season. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
From when she filmed.
Was it a year from that?
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, she didn't have a chance to tour. She didn't have a chance to do any of that. So that this was definitely a kind of a second chance to be able to be exposed to the world, show what she can do, and give her an opportunity to tour as part of this cast. Because since then, if she wasn't on this cast, there'd be two casts that came after her, two crown queens that came after her that she hasn't really been able to like take advantage of touring or being a notable name on a current season. So this was definitely kind of a bump for her. Same thing with Shay as the winner of All Stars 5, and to a little bit lesser extent, Trinity and Monet. And Evie, because they both won theirs at the end of or in 2019. So they had a shorter time being able to really get out there and do things.
So do we think that's part? I mean, Jada makes total sense. I mean, and yes. They're winners, too. Do we think that's part of the strategy here? OK, interesting.
I have not considered
that. Yeah. Oh, and Trinity, of course.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I think those were the first calls were the more recent winners that didn't have a chance to do as much with their title reign.
I mean, that all fits really well, but it's also just a great cast. Trinity, I don't want to leave her out. I don't love...
We can.
I know. I don't love her only in a certain way, just from like anecdotal whatever. I think as a queen on the show, she has been very good, both as a contestant. I mean, she's done amazing work. And as helpful as she has been to her sisters, that's very commendable. It's certainly not expected in that kind of competition show. It is very common in the community for queens to help each other, but like it is kind of cool to see her. And I, you know, the fact that her and Monet get along great, like there's just little personal relationships you're seeing play out that are really lovely. And again, because there's all of them are there the whole time, you get to actually see more of that. All of that's great. The acting challenges have been better. Like, I feel like they've had, you know, I mean, if you've listened to Flame On Recaps before, like we complain about the acting challenges quite often because the writing is pretty poor at times. And even if it's going for a certain style and like, that's a whole thing I get it. Even if the performances are whatever, like it's just the material. And a lot of times these queens just, they get left with a crappy bag. But this season, I think overall music and acting challenges have been pretty solid. This episode, notwithstanding.
Yeah, it was a long one, but it's also different when they are editing around or editing out maybe weaker parts of the performances. You know, when you don't have anybody going home and there is no bottom two, you know, they could have done this in a way where there was a bottom two or something where, you know, where they could have done something to highlight the negatives, but I'm sure it was also part of the agreement to get the girls back because, I mean, these are all winners. These are all established names, not just in the franchise, but in their drag careers, even the more recent winners. And to come back, one, nobody would want to be the first one out. And two, you don't want to be made to look like Boo Boo the Fool on an episode of Drag Race. On a show that you've already won, that you've come in and you've competed and taken the top prize. So for them to get them to come back, I'm sure that there was a lot of conversation about what the edit would look like and what the overall kind of feel of the show would be. And sometimes I really do wish there was were some critiques. As a couple of my previous guests on Recaps for the season have mentioned, it is a little bit tougher because sometimes there are parts where you're like, this really wasn't great. Can we get a little bit of it? You don't have to say this was the worst dress I've ever seen on Drag Race in the history of the entire franchise, but maybe some critiques. Like, literally, I keep going back to this, and each time that this comes up, it's the only thing that I mentioned, because the only thing I remember as being even a slightly negative critique. And it was when they were talking to Trinity in episode one, where they told her that she forgot the words that she wrote and like kind of stopped lip syncing during that. And it's like, you wrote these words, which, I mean, granted, they wrote them and they recorded them and then probably performed within the course of like 8 hours. So, you know, it's not like she wrote them and has been singing and performing this for 8 years. But that was the closest thing to like any type of real negative critique. And it was just kind of like, hey, this is what happened, but you still look stunning. Like, it was done in such a way where it was a critique sandwich. It was like compliment, critique, compliment. And that's fine. And I love this. I mean, you remember when we did our season 14 recap, and I railed against the fact that RuPaul lied to us outright and said that I'm not saving anybody, then proceeded to do like 47 weeks of no eliminations. Or double Shantae's or whatever. Like, you know, we started the season off saying no one's going home. And I didn't realize that's become a calling. I only watched the first two episodes of Untucked up until yesterday, I think it was. And I'm almost caught up. I think I'm almost caught up, if not like one episode left of Untucked. But it's kind of become a rallying cry in the Untucked is no one's going home. And it's just like, this is really cute. Because it does give these queens a chance to shine no matter what's going on. If they have a poor week or a poor showing or a poorer showing from what we see, they can still come back the next week and kick ass and be the top all-star. So that is really kind of like the big thing is like it's just so great to see them shine in the way that they have gotten to. I may not always love all the queens, okay, just one of them on the season, but whatever. And but even then, like, I will still say when they do a great job, they do a great job. And I'm excited to see how this all plays out and who will take the title, because honestly, any single one of these queens is absolutely deserving of the title. There is not a single queen that you could sit there and be mad about if they won.
Yeah, I don't disagree with all. And I sit there and kind of go back and forth on like who it should be. I know who I would rather it be as far as like people I just happen to like more. Jinx.
And I'll ask you that question at the end of the episode. So,
oh, well, there you go. You know my answer. But again, it's not that I wouldn't be okay with really any of them. It's just, here's one thing going forward, and then we should probably talk about the episode. Because I'll do this all day. The next version of this. Let's say All-Stars 8. Do they keep this formula? Do they not revisit the winners of whatever, what do they call this? The Legendary Legends season, the Winners season, whatever the official title
All-Stars All Winners?
All-Stars All Winners. Like, is this a special occasion thing you roll out every so often? I mean, I think so, but like, if the winner of this season is the queen of all queens, when you do the next one, how does that get rectified? And then you now have two people, and then you see the problem of these queen of all queens.
Well, no, because I mean, it's the same thing as the title that in the main series. You know, when you started the show, it was the next Drag Race superstar, the world's next drag superstar. And that's just been every year since then. So, I mean, and these are queens that live and exist already. You know, they didn't just pop into existence when the show started. So I think it's kind of the same. I don't want them to do this every other year or every, you know, like, give it a rest. Honestly, I'm still mad that All Stars happens every year. Because when we're starting to see, there's starting to be leaks of supposed rumored cast for All-Stars 8. And some of these rumored people have been on All-Stars like 3 times.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
And I get it.
Because queens who have not been on at all still have not gotten a call to be on All-Stars.
Right.
You know, my neighbor down the street, Dita Ritz, you know, like literally there's just like, she does little online campaigns for, you know, Dita for All Stars, hashtag Dita for All Stars. How come she hasn't been brought back? Not even as a lip sync assassin. That bitch had some of the most memorable lip syncs of season four and of all time. You watch Ms. Mojo lists of like the top 10 best, you know, Drag Race lip syncs, and her This Will Be, parentheses and Everlasting Love, is still one of the best. And that's 10 seasons ago. That's season four. And how has she not been brought back as a lip sync assassin or in some capacity? And then you've got somebody, the one thing I saw last night, I don't know, I haven't seen anything more. Somebody like Coco Montrese is quote unquote rumored for All Stars 8. And she was on All Stars 2. But then there was somebody, I think, like, I forget, there was somebody else that was like All Stars 5. Oh, Derek Barry was on this like rumored cast list. And she was just on season 5, which was 2 years ago. Yeah. You know, I can see All Stars 1 people coming back sometimes because All Stars 1 was a shit show. And it was teams, and it wasn't something that really gave them an avenue to thrive. So I can see some of those All-Stars 1 contestants coming back, but don't bring me back somebody from All-Stars 5 before you give somebody who could use this this opportunity.
Like, I think in that vein, I want to see All-Stars Pork Chop Edition. I want to see All-Stars Outsiders with, like, you know, Willem making some kind of crazy epic return. And I want to see, like, those. could you imagine? The weird edge case, not like the, hey, we know this. I mean, let's not pick on her, but Ginger is a great example. We know Ginger will be fantastic for the camera. People love her. Let's bring her back. And it's not that I don't want her to have.
47 times is enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, yeah, I totally agree. I want to see deeper cuts. Some people obviously aren't doing drag anymore, but people like Dita, I mean, Oral, I mean, whoever, like, they need another chance. They're so great. They should be revisited. So,
an early out season would be interesting. Like James is actually one of the people that was on that rumored list, along with Jessica Wilde. And like, those are two people that, you know, Jessica got a little bit of a boost in visibility again with being a lip sync assassin, which was great. And then James got a bit of a boost of recognition by being brought back for last season's Save a Queen episode, like the first outs.
Yeah.
You know, so seeing James Mansfield back on the TV would be fantastic because she's done so much and is, you know, is not the queen that we only got to experience for two episodes. Because I think season 9, there was no elimination until episode 2. And that was the cheerleading episode where Eureka like broke her entire knee off. And then James rolled herself through space. Still one of the best gifts that's come out of that season was James doing the tumble and the cheerleading. And then just them taking her and tumbling through like space past an airplane, all that stuff. Listeners, if you don't know, go look it up because it's fantastic.
Drag Race memes are gifts that keep on giving.
They are. There are situations at work all the time where I find myself looking up different Drag Race gifts and sending them to my boss or putting them in the group chat. There was one, something happened last week and I was just like, ugh, not this. And I immediately went on and I found the gif of Jan saying not this. And now it is on my computer for any scenarios that require it. But that's a little dive into All Stars in general. Well, actually, before we even do that, I mean, come on, you got to give your hot take on Jinx's Natasha Lyonne and Judy Garland. I mean, come on.
Oh my God. So this was back when I was still catching up. I think I forgot why I didn't watch it. I think I was traveling or something. Oh, that's what it was. I was with Eric actually overseas, and that was the whole, hey, you should download it on World of Wonder app before you get on the plane, and it failed. So that's why I was slow to catch up on some of the that. But so I had seen the pictures and I was like, oh my God. The Natasha Lyonne one for sure blew my mind. Just looked perfect. And then I was watching the episode and watching her do the character. I was like, yeah, this is spot on. And then I find out, you know, that they're friends and, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this all makes sense. The Judy Garland one, I will say this. when I first saw the picture of her, because again, it was just everywhere. People just lit up. And I knew based on the little things people were posting that they loved it. It was great. When I saw the picture.
Is this my camera?
Yeah. Is this my camera? What does she call? Broom? Is that what she calls Rue? Broom?
Broom.
Broom.
Is that now that we've reached the midway point, it's time for a song.
But I mean, here's
don't
the best.
Be jealous of my boogie.
Well, that was such Inevitables. I'm so glad that she has worked with Major Scales on the Inevitables project, because that, you know, all of that really helps her. But no, the I didn't recognize like the era of Judy Garland, and then I pulled up a picture because it's like late in her life. It's like one of her later eras, I guess you could say. You know, not like she's about to pass on and or what's his name killed her
killer yet.
Yeah, which, oh my god, that's like the best callback I think ever to any deep lore RuPaul Drag Race. Like I was just I mean, they clearly, Ru and Michelle, like just ate that up so much. I mean, it was just the most delightful moment to see them so impressed, so into it, and then see that whole interplay. It was just delightful. Like, I mean, everybody else did pretty well. I don't remember. This is the sad part. I don't remember anybody else in the Snatch game except for her, because my memory's crap because I'm old. But no, they just that play, that just delight, and the fact that Rue was like, yeah, of course, yes, here's the mic, go for it. I mean, just like, oh, it was beautiful. It's beautiful. So yeah,
there's time for one more.
I just love Jinx. I mean, Jinx is just, she's not ever like, if you ever, okay, so I am obviously a big fan. If you ever want to see some of Jinx's most questionable decisions, go on YouTube. I don't know if she's pulled them down, but during the pandemic, her and Ben de la Creme, they moved to LA right as I moved to Seattle, which I was a little disappointed about. To say the least. Not that they were maybe doing a lot locally anyway, and they still actually have come back and done stuff, but be that as it may, Jinx in quarantine, she had just gotten married to Deedle, her husband, not his real name, but that's what she calls him, and they're doing these weird...
It's Michael.
Michael, yeah. Uber twink. But they were doing these weird videos in their house, and I guess they have roommates, or maybe it's just community, I don't know. But some of the videos are not good. Like, God bless her for just trying stuff. Oh, sorry. I think I just broke my whole everything down here. But, like, they're bad. Some of them are bad. But other than a few things like that, everything she's done, even going back and watching her Miss Bacon Strip performance on YouTube and some of these other things, she's got such good instincts. She's such a fun personality. Yeah, she's a little sleepy sometimes and a little high sometimes. But, oh, my God. Lover, and that Judy Garland was epic.
It's like, if you want to see bad Jinx, go to a show where it's not an actual like scripted show and she's just drunk and high telling stories.
Yes,
because it will just meander to places that doesn't need to go, and everybody will be confused when they leave. But it's Jinx, so whatever.
Yeah,
I also didn't pay for that ticket, so I can't be mad about it. But anywho, so yes, okay. Is this my camera? They changed it to drag queen. Good times. Still the best thing about this season so far. There have been some great things, but literally will be the thing that I will quote forever. And I still do it with one of the guys at the bar. We'll just randomly just look at each other and go, is this my camera? Is it time for one more? Good times. All right, so let's get to the episode at hand. I knew that you had a lot of opinions and things you wanted to share, so I don't mind taking a little bit of the beginning of the episode to rehash what we've gone through before we touch on the new stuff. So we are at episode 8. This is Santa School for Girls. Gals. Gahorellas? I don't know.
Gorillas.
Oh, maybe gorillas. Who knows? So the queens come back into the workroom with Trinity having just won, blocking Evie. Evie, not in that previous episode, but having gained quite a bit of momentum, Trinity wanted to make sure that she stopped that momentum in its tracks. And then I don't think there was much major drama at that point. Thankfully, like, some of the opening scenes have been pretty mellow, aside from the Vivian Jinx drama and all that ridiculousness. So this is going to sound a little weird. Like, I have such an affinity for the entire cast of UK season one, partially because I met them all at DragCon in 2019? And got to interview them all, even like the was it Scaredy Cat, who was like out really early, and some of these other ones who haven't done a whole lot that I've been aware of in my little Drag Race bubble. But like, queens like Something Wong and Baga and, you know, Cheryl and Blue, like, these are all queens that I adore. I liked the Vivian, but she was not who I was pulling for. I was pulling for Baga, but I figured it was going to be Davina. But I, in the back of my head, always kind of knew that Vivian was going to win, especially being the drag ambassador before, you know, Drag Race UK was even a thing, when it was still kind of trying to be done by somebody else without Rue hosting. Because as we know, you have to trank Rue to get her on an airplane. And there's only two countries she'll fly to. The UK and Australia. But Viv was super deserving of her win on UK season one. Viv has been doing fantastic in this competition, but there has been something about her that I just don't like. And it makes me a little sad, because I don't want to not like any of these queens except for, you know, that one that I don't like already. So it's been like a weird kind of context of trying to figure all of this out, like, and try to wrap my head around remembering this is a television show that is, even though it is not really full of like negative critiques or bad exposure for these queens, there's still some editing and things that are kind of being used to help push certain narratives. Anywho. We get RuPaul coming into the workroom, and we find out that this week is an acting challenge. They're going to be acting in Santa School for Girls, and that Trinity, as the winner of the previous week's episode, gets to assign the roles for this performance. Which leads to shenanigans, buffoonery, and riggery. So in the process, they kind of read through and kind of pick out like the parts that speak to them. Some have a couple that are like, hey, here are a couple different roles that I like. And because the Viv had given Trinity the next pick in the legendary legend looks choosing order, Trinity gives Viv her first pick, and then we kind of sort out everything. Till we get down to the part of Ms. Toe, where Jinx, this is, I think, Jinx's like second choice. I think there was one other part that she wanted. And then Monet steps in and says that she wants the part of Ms. Toe as well. So we get what the more recent seasons have been doing, and they do an audition off for the role. And from what what the peanut gallery, to quote I think this was Bob saying it on the pit stop, the peanut gallery that we are shown seems to feel that Jinx was the rightful winner of that audition. Would you say that Jinx gave a better performance in the audition for Ms. Toe on the couches?
Yes. I mean, like, that wasn't even like slightly obfuscated by the editing or production. It was like telegraphed with the reminder that there is an alliance of the twinners prior to that decision. And it was like, okay, cool. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, that doesn't matter. It's that's where you get a little bit of that kind of not forced drama, because that legitimately like a little nugget in there that happened, but you dress it up to make it even more heightened by those little things. And do you need it? No, but sure, whatever. That's like compared to the sins of the World of Wonder editors and production, this is minor at best.
It was just funny the way that they edited the entire thing together. It was like Raja just, you know, like cackling, living for it, and being like, yep, that's Jace's part. And then cut to Trinity going, all right, so Monet, I'm going to give you the part of Misto. It was like, god damn. Like, you really just want to reinforce the Twinners alliance, which, like, hasn't even really been a thing that's come up much. It apparently was a little more of an Untucked thing. Have you watched Untucked episodes?
Do you know... So I watched this through alternate means of obtaining the video than you would expect. And I did not even realize that there was an Untucked. Not that I mean, of course there should be. So no, I have watched zero Untucked this season.
Well, you know the old saying, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story. In this case, if you're not watching Untucked, you're getting 95% of the story. And here's some extra fluff for you. It really is not like it's fine. It's more, hopefully more money for the girls because it's more episodes and more content that's being produced with them as the cast. And with them all being in every episode, you know, you're getting paid per episode. There is a per episode, I was gonna say a per diem, but a daily amount for each episode. But one of the best things to come out of it was, and I don't even remember, was it the Dolly Parton runway? So that was, oh crap, I can't remember the challenge that I went with the Dolly, like the Night of a Thousand Dollies. Anywho, whatever episode that was, Trinity and Monet are sitting on a couch, like everybody else like goes to smoke and do whatever, and they're having this heart to heart about how much they care about each other, which is a big difference from where they were at the end of season four when they both were crowned the winner, because Trinity had some very direct things to say about Monet on Twitter. But anywho, they grow, they mend fences, they're now, you know, best sisters. But they have this emotional, like, I'm so glad that I was on the season with you when you won, because, you know, you're amazing and we're the best of friends. And if I don't win this, I want you to win it. And they're all crying. And they're like, at the end of the conversation, you just hear a ukulele strum and the camera pulls out and there's Jinx sitting on the couch next to them. She's like, and they say something to her and she's like, I was going to underscore your conversation, and then I saw the tears, so I figured I wouldn't.
That's delightful. I need to watch that.
It's ridiculous. I think you can find it on YouTube, the clip of it on YouTube. So, anywho, yes, the Twinners utilize their alliance to get Monet the part that she wants. And from there, we go to... Well, actually, before we even move on. So with that happening, Jinx gets the part of Holly, which is a smaller bit part, kind of one of the plastics from Mean Girls. Gays and theys and ladies out there. I think I've said this on the show, but please don't come for me. Please don't yell at me. I mean, you can if you want to, but I haven't seen Mean Girls. So I don't really know the people in the movie all that well, but, and I did not even realize that this was, I mean, I kind of should have, but I didn't realize that this was a take on Mean Girls. So, okay, but,
Oh, that makes sense now. Okay. I didn't realize that. She was
the Lindsay Lohan character, and then.
Okay.
I guess Evie was the Regina George of the group, and then the other two girls are the other two, like, I don't.
It just, don't okay, know. As much as I think the writing has improved this this particular in exercise, was odd. A, Christmas. Now, this wasn't filmed around Christmas, we're fairly certain. This also has no, I mean, I guess Christmas in July is the connection, but it's odd. When you have a Christmas anything that's not during the season, it probably should have at least some kind of explanation, like, hey, we're doing a Christmas thing. And in this case, they didn't provide anything as far as I remember.
No. I know there's a scene in Mean Girls in like a talent show where the girls are dressed up in little like Santa outfits, which I think is supposed to be part of that correlation. But then it's okay. Also the Satan reference. The Satan slash Santa, yeah. Type of
Hail
thing.
Santa, yeah.
Hail Santa, yeah. Like, it's a weird amalgamation of things.
To sell that all, you should have had Daniel Francese come and be the special guest, coach, director, whatever that one person. By the way, and I meant to look this up, do we know what that person, and I can't remember their name, what they're famous for? The director who is the judge?
Gregory Go Boom. Is winner of the Short Film Jury Award at Sundance Film Festival. So Gregory Go Boom is a winner of the Short Film Jury Award at the Sundance Film Festival. Lemon. Co-written,
okay,
with Brett Gelman. And Zola, co-written with playwright Jeremy O. Harris.
Okay, so I know of Lemon. I think I've heard of Zola, although I may be confusing it. So, okay, cool. I just meant to look up, like, you know, okay, well, who is this? Like, this is cool. I love that they bring, like, this season has had guest judges that I don't know a lot about. And I'm like, oh, cool. It's like watching, you know, one of the international ones. You're like, who are you? And cool, that's neat. So that's good.
Having Janiska come in and be the director and not having it just be like Michelle and Rue was definitely a game changer for this, mm-hmm. because this is somebody that actually directs film. Like, that is actually coming in and giving them proper direction to make a film. Not a great film, but a film.
And anyone who wants to watch just the film, a little short, it's on YouTube, because I was watching it earlier before we did this. I don't know.
RuPaul's Drag Race account has been putting out, like, a couple days after, the lip sync and the challenge.
Okay.
So, like, they've been putting up a lot of this stuff on their YouTube channel, especially.
I appreciate that. It's just nuggets of things that you can still go back and you still want to watch the show, but it's like nice to see this broader, especially because this is all on Paramount Plus, which surprisingly still a lot of people do not have. It's not
Paramount Plus. Probably one of my favorite streaming platforms, though. Oddly
it's
enough.
Got some good stuff on it, but it's still just not like as successful, I think, as they wanted it to be. And this is the second iteration of it. After the first iteration, which was CBS All Access, I think, right?
Well, because that was just CBS programming.
Right, yeah.
Paramount now covers Nick and, like, it covers, like, all of their networks. So there's a much wider plethora of stuff. Like, it's now all Viacom.
Yeah.
So you get all the MTV and VH1 stuff you get. So, like, I watch the Challenge All-Stars. I watch, you know, Drag Race All-Stars. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff for the Trek fans out there. That's where, like, Picard and New Horizons and all of that stuff lives. So, yeah, it's good. And then we had people like Tuvalu, on a previous episode.
So, sure you talked about that, yeah, because I love Tuvalu, Tovlo.
Tuvalu!
I about fell out of my chair when she said that, and then she said it again. So thankfully,
she said Tuvalu, and I was like, that's not how you say it either, Rue.
Yeah, well, Tuvalu. It sounds like that performer has had some fun with the way their name is pronounced, and they're kind of like me, and they're like, I'm not correcting people. You want to say it, whatever.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
They don't care. I love her.
I brought this up on the on that episode's recap, but if you go watch the opening to the Disco Tits music video, there's a whole little segment where she's like being interviewed by a quote unquote like American talk show host, and it's a puppet. Tuvalu has a thing with fucking puppets. There's a video where she's making out with and having sex with a puppet at some point. So like,
yep,
the Swedes gotta love them.
The newest one has her having sex with a robot, so it's even more exciting. Yeah, yeah,
you know. But it had a, in that segment, there is a whole thing about like the puppet calls her Tovlo, and she's like Tuvalu, so Tovlo. Tuvalu, like it's a whole thing, but
oh, I gotta yes. find that. Yes. So yeah, back to this challenge. It was Janiska still very...
and the directing of this challenge. Did you find there were any like maybe good points that were brought up about the way that the girls were doing their scenes? Anything that stood out to you
from the directing perspective? No,
yeah.
It was all very supportive, which I appreciated, kind of in the, again, following in the lines of we're not showing any of the criticisms or the whatevers. But like it I think there was one case where it was Evie or no. Okay. So there was one case where she suggested somebody, it was Raja, and she suggested Raja do it differently, do another take. They did a different take. It sounded different. But when you watch the actual video, it's the first take. It's not the one they did. So I was like, wait a minute.
This is apparently a thing because I was watching a Drag Detective video and the rigory of season 14. And there was something like that they did to Maddie in the Save a Queen challenge where Michelle was like, put more sass in it. And she did. And they were like, you know, show Michelle going, that's a keeper. And then apparently in the challenge, this is when I was in Florida, so I didn't really pay much attention because it's hard to watch at a bar sometimes. But when they did the finished product, it was that not sassy one that wasn't the keeper, according to Michelle. So to hear, like, I guess I wasn't paying that close of attention to it at that in this challenge. But yeah, this is not the first time that they've been like, hey, yeah, do it differently. And then they're like, oh, this is great. And then they don't use that.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's reasons, and it's all whatever. Who cares? It's all production-y, blah, 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 whatever. But it was just funny because I remember
didn't impact the win this time. So
oh yeah, no, exactly. So no, the directing seemed very just fine. And the performances across the board again were all so good. It's kind of sad in some ways. The ones who like Shay just got lost in a lot of the because she kind of played the straight character, like the straight man, so to speak, that just like she's yeah. just reacting.
Oh my gosh, Shay's straight now? Damn.
It didn't work for her though, because I like her in those other roles that like when they did, was it the Fairy Tale Justice thing? I liked her in that way more because she got to have an interesting character. But on the flip side of that, the little mean girls, the three, Evie, Jinx, and Trinity. And they made a whole point to explain Jinx's, like, what she's going to do with this. And so it all fits in the narrative the way they crafted it. But she took a non-existent, like, bit part, like, not non-existent, but still a bit part, and milked it for every drop that she could get time-wise. Voices, like she did at least two different versions of her character's voice. She did like the possessed one, you know, and she comes alive, you will not, you know, like sucking in while she talks to make that like devil voice. Yeah. Like it was so great. And then some of the other like little, the vocal fry, of course, is her main character. But I mean, like she did so much with it. And then you got like Trinity and Evie, and they're just like, they're just, you know, doing along. They're fine. They did whatever. I mean, they weren't bad. It just, you compare it to what Jinx did. The Viv, I thought was funny because her headmistress, even if she was going for, what's her name from the No Wire Hangers?
Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford.
Oh, she was doing Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford.
Okay. Mommy Dearest. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, and this is something that, watch the pit stop. For those of you listening, if you don't watch the Pit Stop normally, go watch this one. One, because Peppermint's on it too, and mm-hmm. Bob and Peppermint together is fucking ridiculous at all times. But they talk about this as well, because they say, you know, obviously we always go to Joan Crawford, you know, being Mommy Dearest. But the movie, it's Faye Dunaway playing this exaggerated version of Joan Crawford. And in this case, it's like, it's Viv. And they go through, it's like a couple different things, like Viv playing Donald Trump playing
Joan. In drag as Faye Dunaway playing Joan Crawford. Yeah, it's like multiple, exactly. It's Inception-esque in its nesting. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, is Viv really does such a great job and makes it all work. But when you boil it down, you're like, oh, I see what you're doing. You're doing your Trump with this. Yeah. So, I mean, it works. It works great for that character.
And there was another part of it that kind of called back for it, because the, you know, make Christmas merry again or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like a lot of times when they write these things, they write them with these queens in mind. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, it almost makes you think, okay, are these queens told, hey, you are going to be doing this role regardless? Because sometimes when there's things like that, it's like, of course that's going to be a Viv thing because of her portrayal of Trump on Snatch Game in UK1. So like, but then there are some times where queens will be like, oh no, like let's switch and let me do this. Like in All-Star 6, I forget which line or which characters, I think it was Ginger and Pandora. Like Ginger wanted to do the Myrtle Snow character, and Pandora really wanted it. And it was kind of like, there are little bits that are like, would have maybe been written for the other person, but they can sometimes just rock it out. Like Pandora in that challenge, I thought was fantastic as the Myrtle Snow-esque character of that challenge, the Rumerican horror story challenge.
Oh, yeah. I tell you right now, when they are finally out of their NDA period, all of these like writers and producers and editors, like I want to read the tell-all of the Drag Race empire, because there's just so much there that you have these questions. I mean, like, how does this work? How did this happen? Like, what's the tea here? And other than listening to Race Chaser and hoping that Willem just magically gets the answer and decides to, you know, spill it or Alaska or whatever, like that, we don't have a lot of great confirmed outlets, you know, of these kind of these questions. But yeah, I think you're right. I think they do write these parts with certain queens in mind, but then have to still make them flexible enough, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think overall the challenge is good. I don't really remember a lot else that stood out. Like the whole murder thing was kind of like, all right, cool. That's a thing, I guess. I don't know. The little interviews that they did, like, I think they did like two or three in the, you know, like outside after the murder and sort of flashing back. That was a little weird at first. And I was like, okay, I see what you're doing. I don't know that you need to. It's kind of weird, but I'll allow it. And then I think the only other performance I was kind of like about is Monet, who I again love, but I don't know. It was okay. There's something that was a little missing from it, even after the direction of, you know, just use your regular voice. Like I just didn't do it for me.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind her. I think Jinx would have been an interesting fit, especially because it was very like pot hippie.
It's what's her name? It's from Harry Potter. It's she's the one with the globe. Oh, God.
Just reference another film that I haven't seen.
Well, right. Yeah, I know. But I think that character, as they conceived it, was meant to be sort of a pastiche on this sort of hippie Hogwarts teacher who does like divinations and shit, and I cannot think of her name, nor can I think of the actress who plays her. But that's in the way that Monet looked, and in sort of the not the cool teacher thing, that was something else that they mixed into it, right? But that's what I was getting, and I would have loved to see Jinx do that or play that role. But
well, because I mean, that's Jinx, a stoned out witch. Yep. I mean, like that's
or
that's
Raja exactly actually. What? Raja was interesting as Scrooge. Also, the fact
short for Lisa.
Yeah. So weird. But again, I actually think I would have really liked to see her play that same role as well. And then maybe like do Evie as Scrooge would have been interesting and certainly more true to her general aesthetic. But Yeah, I don't know.
And her demeanor, for sure.
Yeah.
Because the way that the kind of emo, like, gothy girl punk, definitely would have definitely fit Evie. But I was happy to see Evie go outside of what the norm is for her. I don't think there was anything that really gave her a ton to shine. Raja, I think, did a great job. She was giving me very Nancy from The Craft. She was giving me very, like, just punk rock awesomeness. I did get a giggle out of the death fight scene, especially after the first, like, axe to the chest, and she's like, I'm still alive, bitch. And then they do it again, and she's like, no, I'm not. And then she just fell over. I definitely would have been intrigued to see how she would have been in a different role. I don't know what role I would have wanted to see her in. Maybe in that Holly role, or even I would have actually either in Shay's role or in Evie's role. I think she could have played the head mean girl really well and given it a lot of that, like, sass. Mm-hmm. And I think as, like, kind of like the straight man of the scene, I think would have also been really good to see Simone in that role. Shay, I think, would have done wonders in the head mean girl in Evie's part. I think she would have given it. She really would have sassed the hell out of it and made that her own. Viv obviously did a phenomenal job. I can't be mad about it.
Oh, yeah.
I can be mad about it because I want Jinx to win everything, but she did a phenomenal job. Trinity, as, like, the ditzy airhead, she filled out the role well, but it wasn't anything extra or more.
No.
And I thought Jinx took the part that she was given, and I thought there was a real chance that she could have potentially won the challenge.
Yeah.
With the way that she played the role, considering how small of a part it was, and then her running at the camera while screeching at the end, I thought that was fucking hysterical. After she was killed, she's, you know, being interviewed and then is like a demon possessed and running at the camera. I thought that was phenomenal.
That was delightful.
I thought it was hysterical when they put on the music and it was, you know, hey sis, it's Christmas. And then she going over and turning it off and being like, this is not a musical.
That was a nice then, little in sort of insidery sort of, yeah, commentary on itself. Yeah.
And then after they did the whole thing of, like, finding the Halloween decorations on Raja's bunk bed, or Scrooge's bunk bed, and then they were like, I'm gonna, like, I want to celebrate Halloween, and then they start playing, like, we have a song. And you think it's going to be another, like, Christmas or the callback to, hey, sis, it's Christmas. And instead it's The Beginning, which I thought was great because that was the song that jinxed the season. Like, that was her song. So I thought that was great that she was part of the dance. And dear God, don't have Jinx dance anymore. I mean, it's hysterical to watch, but geez, Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think overall, like, it was a good challenge. It was long. It was extremely long. But overall, I think that I still think that the writing and the construction of these skits and sketches could use a little work. But I think overall, this was definitely a highlight for everybody that was in this challenge and on the season. So from there, now that we have been to Santa School for Gals, we go to the runway, which I sincerely hate even just saying the theme of the runway, but yeah, produced some great looks. The theme on today's runway is Nitty Nitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Very innovative, though. And I don't know that we've ever had, like, this kind of look challenge before. Certainly not with that name, but, like, I'm living for it. Yeah.
There definitely, there definitely were some amazing looks. I don't think I don't. There's probably been some sort of knit garments on the runway, like in this kind of fashion. But to do a full out runway definitely was a a whole other experience. So, new friend silver, old friends gold. What were some of the standout highlights from this runway for you?
Oh, well, I mean, just flipping back through them, Evie's is, if I picked the winner of just that in that one category, not acting, I think Evie killed it. I am just like in awe of the construction. I love her headpiece. I love the sort of way she dyed her her outfit, so it kind of gets darker towards the feet.
Yeah, the dip dyeing that she did. All hand dip dyed by Evie.
I know, and the fact that that's entirely her from the whole thing, it blew my mind. I was so blown away by it. Now,
I don't know if she made it. She dip dyed it. Okay. She made the headpiece. I'm not 100% sure if she crafted the garment itself.
Okay,
that's fair. I think somebody may have crafted it and sent it to her in like the regular wool white. And then she dip dyed and like, and then turned it into what we see.
Okay. Either way,
if somebody had,
yeah, let us know if you know one way or the other. But it's just such an arresting look. I love it. And the other one that I would say like stands out. Okay. So there's, it's so tough. There's two that so that was my gold. Is that what you were saying? Kind of do like the gold silver.
Oh no! Like I just every time that runway comes on, it's like the worst RuPaul song, and why are we doing this? As
okay, what's the song title? What is that song? That's
New Friends Silver, Old Friends Gold.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's really bad, yeah. And I hear
it's
it.
It's the one that she performed at the season 13 finale when it was just her and the Gottmik, Simone, Rosé, and Candy in the theater.
I never watched the finale of that season because I knew Gottmik didn't win, and I was like, eh.
She did it. She did a performance to that song, and now it's the runway song.
It's bad.
Like, the
it's
runway bad songs song. Are supposed to be like bouncy, like energy, like yes, like
it reminds me of Sissy either walk. Hold music in some of the loop part where they're doing the runway. It's like this delightful, like kind of hold, not delightful. It's hold music. Or it sounds like something else that I can't place with the horn hits. I think it reminds me of Genesis. How many times can I say I'm sorry? Whatever that song is. Or maybe it's not Genesis. It's not Genesis. It's Phil Collins himself. But anyway, there's like a horn hits and when that song from that with that lyric, and it reminds me of that too. Anyway, all to say, not in a good way, it's not a good song. So if I had to pick my top choice, it's definitely Evie. I think honorable mentions though, really love Shay's outfit. I love that Shay brings in very distinct African and African American cultural influences, dress techniques, like that. Seriously is just so cool to see and looking back at the pictures and just it blows my mind. It's just so couture, but also referencing that tradition and just beautiful. And then Raja, because she looks like a fucking alien, like like Barbarella after she's been upgraded to her next form. And with I love Raja's use of like facial like wear like masks and other weird like constructs, like just insane. I love that look. Though not all of it's knitted. I think enough of it's knitted that they were like, yeah, we'll allow it, because a lot of it's totally nothing to do with knitted anything, whereas a lot of the queens just went full-on knitted everything. Those are my favorites. The rest were good. And Vivian's is nice because I love the sort of really just consistent, like kind of like structure and patterns that you see expressed that are very familiar to people who have knitted or done macrame or done any of the knitted arts. It's cool to see that in that outfit. But, you know, yeah, whatever. Yeah, the rest is all they're all fine. What about you?
Yeah, Raja's She 3P Ho. Is definitely a fantastic look. It does not scream knitted to me, and I'm sure that the dress is. And I know that she posted her photo shoot in the outfit to her Instagram, and I'm sure that in that case you're able to see it in more detail. It's a gorgeous outfit. I do not fault it at all. It just, when I see it, it doesn't, I don't instantly say, oh, that's a knit runway. I think, you know, futuristic, Judy Jetson Hooker, something more futuristic than knit, but fantastic. Viv's outfit, I think if there was some color involved, I would have liked it more. It reminded me of, you know, every cardigan sweater that I've ever seen and or had in my life, especially being an Irish of Irish descent. You know, those cable knit cardigans are a staple of the Irish folk. I did love the knitting needles in her hair. I thought that was fantastic. I outright adored Jinx's look. And maybe that I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite saying that I wanted more color in Vivian's, but Jinx's is all one color. But she also has her knit is darker, stoned completely.
Yeah.
All upcycled materials. And the shawl is a different color. It's that kind of plain white wool color. But I adore it. It fucking sparkled. Like, even the fact that Rue made a comment about it on the runway, like in the critiques, about how much that dress shone. It's amazing. One of my favorites, though, was Monet. I lived for those little hoochie shorts, those knit hoochie shorts, the knit puffer jacket. Mm-hmm. And the knit bow in her hair with the curly hair wig, you know, Shay is doing it for the culture, but Monet is doing it for the culture as well. It's almost two different sides of that same coin, and like how you were referencing, like Shay's bringing a lot of real like African roots, where Monet's bringing a lot of Black culture, Black American culture to her runway. And it's two amazing sides of this coin that are showcasing like Black excellence on the runway. And, you know, like we did our entire last recap and didn't mention Monet's outfit until the end when James realized that as we were talking about who he wanted to win and we were talking about Monet. And he's like, we went this entire episode and never mentioned Monet once. And I wanted to make sure, because when I saw this look on the runway, I loved it so much. The only thing that I kind of wish is that the colors alternated, like on the puffer, like it's one side is like the white and blue and one side is pink and blue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost kind of wish that they alternated sides. So like if they were going to be on pink on the right, white on the left, that the booty shorts would have been white on the right, pink on the left. And then her bow would have had the white in there as well, because her bow is all pink. Mm-hmm. But that's like a tiny minor critique on it. But I still love the fact that it's all, or if it was going to be all like one color on one side, one color on the other, that the bow would have also done that. And it would have been left side, one color, right side, one color.
Oh, yeah.
But I adored it. I just have to say, okay, so those are, I was going to move on. Any not as amazing standouts on this runway? Because I have one.
So I'm torn because I like Trinity's thing she did, and it's not even her. Like she said, a fan made this for her, knit this for her or something.
So, okay. I keep hearing this, and I did not hear this the same way that everybody keeps saying this. The Grumpkin, I believe, is what the fan made for her.
Oh.
And then she had this look based off of this Grumpkin? Still don't. I'm saying this.
The stuffed animal. The stuffed animal. Yeah.
But I think there. I guess it's like a line of, or like a certain type of thing. I think that's what was made for her and given to her at a meet and greet, and then she took this opportunity, which is a great shout out for that fan. first of all, huge shout out for that fan. But the way that I heard her talking about it was that the fan made this, and that was the inspiration, and that's where this outfit came from.
Okay, that probably is right then, because yeah, I was like, wow, what a fan. That's crazy, and that they would know their measurements exactly. Yeah, that's complicated. So is that what you didn't like? Because I mean,
yeah, I hate this outfit.
I don't hate it. I don't know why it sort of works, because it really shouldn't. But looking at it right now, I think because the hair kind of matches the drapes.
I love the hair. I love the wig with the leopard print spray painted pattern on it. I love her hair. I hate everything else, but I love the hair.
I don't hate it. I just think that if I had to pick among all of them, what's the weakest? Or yeah, there's just something to it. It's very messy. It's very like just, yeah, I don't know.
But I love the loses story. Her shape. There's so much like extra knit material.
Yes.
Like every other person has a shape. Even Shay, who like the kind of Afghan or the kind of like quilt shawl covers a lot of it.
Yeah.
Her that dress gives, you know, still gives her the shape. Obviously Monet, Raja, and Raja's is even a little bit looser fitting, and there's still a shape. Evie's, obviously. Jinx, obviously. Jada, who we didn't really talk about. It's adorable. I like it. The big comfy couch was not something that was... I was too old for that. I know of it. But it's not something that I watched. It wasn't part of my growing up. Because I think I had aged out before that like became a thing. But you still get the shape. You still get the body. You still get a form. With Trinity's, it's just a lot. Like, it's just a lot of extra knit material that doesn't really give you anything. And then that thigh-high boot leg cover? Because there's a separation between, like, the skirt and the thigh. Into a very open heel. Like, if that was a boot cover and it went all the way down and it was closed, I can maybe understand it. But otherwise, you're wearing some really bizarre leg warmers that cover almost all of your leg.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. And it's definitely my least favorite too, but I don't know. It doesn't offend me. It doesn't bother me as much, but yeah.
It offends my ancestors. All of them. So with the runway concluded, the critiques are given. Praise, praise, praise. We love you. We love you. Love you. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Because that's just what we do on the show. The queens go to the back, deliberations. And still, even like the deliberations where most of the time that's where the extra shady comments get said. Even those comments are edited to be all nicey nice. But the top two all-stars, legends of the episode are deemed to be Raja and the Vivian. Do you agree with these top two?
I think they're fine. Vivian more so, sure. Raja, I mean, I like Raja. I want her to get a little more legend dish, because she does seem to kind of get overlooked a lot. So I guess, yeah, but it was not as strong a call, I think, as if it had been like Jinx or Jinx, you know? So yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with that. But you know, Vivian, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think Raja takes it because she was in so much more. If Raja and Jinx had the same amount of scenes, I think Jinx takes the win. I think that's really kind of what it is. I think Monet would be a solid fourth place for me in this, kind of right there at that middle point, and then everybody else kind of tied after that, because they all did well. It just, you know, when you have this many acclaimed and talented queens, it's really sometimes tough to put one and two up there, which is why like there's almost a little part of me that wants there to be like just extra stars. Like, hey, you did great, but here's, you know, like you were the winner, so let's give you two. But you know what? You were also really good. Here's an extra one. Like, here's one for you.
Well, they've done the thing where they're like, oh, this week you get to keep a star and give a star. And it's like, oh, well, we're throwing these little curveballs at us, so why not? Let's go crazy. Everybody gets a star. Everybody wins.
Need a star, take a star. Have a star, leave a star.
Exactly.
We're now a gas station with pennies. I don't know. It's fine. I just can't wait for DryCon next year when you can purchase these legendary legend stars, because somebody in LA is going to have to buy me one and send it to me.
Of course.
I need a legendary legend star to go to sit next to my shade button that I paid way too much money to World of Wonder for.
It's got a lot of use, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do it all the time now during work meetings. That's how we do. So Viv and Roger are the top two queens. The lip sync song is Super Freak by Rick James. And Raja actually showed up to this lip sync as opposed to the one with Jinx. And turned it the fuck out. And is crowned the winner, gets $10,000. $10,000 as a cash tip. And the power to block one of her sisters. And we didn't even talk about this during when they were getting ready. So, full circle moment of the episode, because while they were getting ready for the runway, I believe, Jada makes a proclamation to the room and says, I mean, I know I have three stars, but you shouldn't even bother blocking me because there aren't that many more stars left to be given. So I'm obviously already going to be in the top four. So why would you block me? Like, why would you waste a block like that? Ma'am, what the fuck are you doing? What is going on? This is almost as bad as Vivian saying, well, the person I really wanted to block, I couldn't block. You know, looking at Jinx as being the other person in the top two that week. Like, these are things that you don't say in the workroom to the other queens. These are asides you have in the confessionals. Because Raja turns around and blocks her. Like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the point? Why are you doing this to yourself?
But I mean, honestly, it was the call either way, I feel like, because she's got the only one with three. It's obvious. Like, yeah. So,
I mean, for sure. Yeah. And now the only person who is one that has not been blocked is Roger.
I wonder what's going to be blocked next. I can't imagine. So do we know the criteria for the finale then? Is it just going to be four
star getters?
Yeah, but there's going to be, like, there's such low numbers, there's going to be a lot of ties unless they've got away. Like you said,
why do you think I think there's going to be some sort of Mario Party shenanigans?
Oh my God. I think there's going to be some shit
that happens in the next couple of episodes, and they're either going to start giving out some extra stars, there's going to be something where, like, literally, I would love an episode of just all mini challenges. Like, just a bunch of mini games.
Oh, that would be fun.
Like, and you win, you get a star. I'd fucking live. I would live.
That would be great. Yeah.
Like, you just do, like, a Wheel of Fortune game. You do a Jeopardy game. Like, if you did, like, these random games, I'd love it. I'd live.
I just want Rue to pop in the middle of nothing. And after somebody, like, reads somebody else, just be like, good read, here's a star. Like, just random pop-in moments, like, just bizarre, or do it like a little overlay, like a little ching, like, you just, like, yes, all of it. Let's get wacky with this, because we need to change these numbers up a bit.
I mean, yeah, and yeah,
Jinx needs a few more stars to ensure her rightful place in the finale.
Well, the funny part is, like, so, I mean, most of the people who listen to the podcast know that I do dabble in spoilers. There was a lot that was said that was supposed to happen. Star-wise, number of stars, that doesn't add up. So I need to go back and, like, dig back into the spoilers and see if stuff has been changed and updated. Because some of the people that are the supposed top four don't exactly, it doesn't, unless something really interesting happens, it's going to be very odd to see how this, like, to see that spoiler, like, setup happen.
Hmm.
So, we'll see. But at this moment, we have got Jada with 3 stars, Monet and Shay with 1 star, and everybody else with 2.
That sounds right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very even competition at this moment. So we'll see. But before we sign off from this episode, from this recap, here's the question. Who are your top two that would be standing atop Mount Acropolis in that final lip sync for the title of Queen of All Queens? Not the Queen of the Motherfucking World. Not the Queen of the Mother-tucking World. But Queen of All Queens. Not Queen of the Universe.
Not Queen of All Queens.
No.
Yeah, I mean...
Although I will say that Canada versus the world being Queen of the Motherfucking World, I think is ridiculous and right up my alley for puns.
Yeah, no, it's a... Canadians love their puns. I think it's...
And hockey.
And curling. And loonies and toonies. And oh my god. What do you call it? Jinx. I mean, obviously it's Jinx. So Jinx, and if I had to pick a second one, it's so hard. I mean, I think Vivian. I think there's like this little bromance, rivalry, frenemy, whatever you call this. Like, I would love to see those two kind of neck and neck at the end, because they're so similar and they're so different. And I love the play between the two. I love that rivalry and sort of like budding partnership looking like they're like, oh no, we could totally do stuff, and they really would fit very well in the same billing, I think. So I think those two for me right now.
I am going to change mine up a little bit. I want Jinx in the top two right now because of like I still love Monet, and I still want Monet in the finale in the top two. But if I were based off of what I've seen so far, there's a little part of me that kind of wants Raja to be up there with Jinx at the end and make it a little old school smackdown between the two of them. Will it happen? Who knows? But right now, at this moment, for me, those are my top two. So we only have a couple more episodes. We got 9, 10, and 11. We got 3 more episodes where stars can be awarded. And then episode 12, where we have our lip sync smackdown for the crown. Lollapalooza, spectacular, legendary, legendal, legendy, legendal, legendal, legendal star awards. So, dear listeners, thank you for joining us in this most recent recap. We'll be back next week. However, just as a heads up, next week, our recap will not come out on Thursday. It will come out on Friday. After our very special, I'm probably not that special, but hey, it's a milestone. 300th episode of Flame On debuts with our pop culture roundup for the month of July. So check back in next week. We have right after this episode goes out, you'll see a microsode for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Then you will see our 300th episode, our pop culture roundup, and then you will see our recap for episode number 9 of All-Stars Season 7. Thank you again for hanging out with us. Please go and check out our website online, where you can find not just our socials, but our Twitch channels, our Threadless shop. All of that is at flameonshow.com. And then you can also check out our Patreon and help support this show by going to patreon.com/flameonshow. All right. Thank you so much for joining me this week, Brian. And until next time, dear listeners, mabiotch.